We open to Genesis 19. Remember how we left off with Abraham interceding to the Lord on behalf of these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. If you're visiting and you're like, oh, I showed up for the Sodom and Gomorrah chapter, we didn't choose it for you. Okay, that's where we're at. So two angels had been sent to survey the situation, and we discussed that rather than this being a mission to gather intel for the all-knowing God, it would seem their purpose was more to confirm, both for the inhabitants of those cities and for all who would hear of their fate throughout history, that they were indeed due for destruction. If you look back to chapter 18, verse 20, we see their sin was exceedingly grave. Nevertheless, we have our man Abraham, who had been declared righteous by his faith, pleading on their behalf, interceding for these cities that he knew to be wicked. He knew them to be corrupt. Remember, he wouldn't even take a shoelace from the king of Sodom. Why is he interceding? Well, in the immediate present situation, there were people in the city that he loved, that he did not want to see destroyed. And I think many of us can relate to that same heart. But in the broader picture, I believe we have on display in this man the heart of the one in whom he trusted. There are some in the world that have this idea of God, that he's an angry cosmic being scouring the earth for people to judge, as if it brings him pleasure. And this flawed view of God can only be held by those who have not actually gotten into the Word and gotten to know him in the Word. Thus, they missed his heart, because God's Word paints a different story. I'll give you a couple verses in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, God says, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God? Rather than that he should turn from his ways and live." That's God's heart, that they would turn and live. And then a New Testament verse right after John 3:16 in verse 17, we are assured that God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that they would be saved. God's heart is for that salvation. Now, yes, judgment is coming, and it is sure. But our God has gone to the greatest of lengths to offer salvation to whosoever would receive his gift of salvation. One more reference to jot down, expressing his patience and his desire for all to come to repentance. I think I mention this one often, but it should be one that we hear so often that we memorize it, that we know it. The Lord, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So Abraham was interceding. He doesn't know. He's not God. Is there a way for these cities to be spared? Only God knows that. And as I consider that, we look out on our world today and we see messes all around us in every corner of the world. Is there hope for that nation or for that region or for that broken system? And it's easy to write them off. And one day they will be judged. But in the present, we don't know what God might want to do. So may we intercede and pray on their behalf for their salvation, not just from tyranny, you know, or a regime, but from their sin, that they would be brought to know the Lord. It can happen. You guys remember the story of Jonah? Nineveh? Nineveh was due for destruction, but they repented. They cried out to God, and he had mercy on them. Now, I know these comments on intercession are review, but I believe it's important, as we're about to see an outpouring of judgment from God, that we first be reminded of his heart for the lost. When we come across an act of God that is hard for us to process, I guess you'd say, it's important that we lean into his character and his heart, and we choose to trust him. This needed to happen. And although this chapter is not a light and a fluffy affair, be sure it's here for a reason. And I'll tell you, the more that I studied it, the more I found myself pondering all sorts of lessons to be learned. Not necessarily like fun, but valuable, important. Romans 15, verse 4, I wanted to share this before we get started, says this: "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope." This, what we're reading, was recorded so that you and I would learn and would grow. And as that takes place in our hearts, that we would have a sure hope in Jesus Christ. So three main takeaways to look for in this chapter. There's all kinds of things, but one, we're going to be reminded that sin is serious. And the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And as we see Sodom judged by a righteous God, we need to know that judgment is real, it's final, and it's coming. Number two, along with that judgment, look for God's patience. Look for his grace. See how he is faithful, even when those who are his are not so faithful. And then thirdly, another theme to seriously consider in this chapter is the effect of compromise. As we will see, the sorry condition and position